So you're quite a fan of physics then, hey?
Well, he's a master physics student.
So yeah.
You won't be like, I hate it.
It could
be. You'd be surprised some people start hating
it. How did you find the maths analysis exam? That was quite a nice one, I found.
Not too bad, I think.
There was question two that was basically divided all the bits of the extreme value theorem proof into like little bits.
Oh god, that one.
Yeah, that was literally
the one I couldn't do. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, you have to use that using.
I'm bad at maths. No, okay.
That's right.
Proof
it's
using,
all right, guys,
proof using contradiction. Beautiful.
Okay.
I'm really not bad at maths. I'm just bad at
maths. Oh, you've
said
it now. I'm putting that in the front.
That's the beginning. Dad, you'll say, I'm bad at maths.
Hello and welcome to Red Switch, the podcast. My name is Bartholomew and I'm joined here by Adamya,
hey.
Suresh,
hey.
And unfortunately not this time, Oiva. He couldn't make it for this event, that's a shame, but hopefully we'll see him back on the podcast soon. However, we do have a special guest and we're joined here by Daniel Wolvin.
Hi.
He's a student at Warwick University, just like ourselves, and he's currently studying mathematics and physics. He is the reason he's on the show with us today, or the reason why we really wanted to invite him, is because he's an anarchist, and he's not of the timid kind. If you find yourself on his Facebook, you'll find several posts where he's in a rage about people who are so un-anarchist that he has to put them right. And today we want to really learn about what anarchy is and what would be better than to invite someone who understands it and believes it to our podcast. So, Daniel, I want to go into the kind of things you might have said on Facebook posts, and I want you to say, like, okay, why, what does that mean? Or what sort of, why did you say that? And so I've collected a few Facebook posts that I thought were really fun, and some of them I agree with, some of them I don't agree with. And I just want you to say, like, okay, what was going on there? And hopefully we can get into a discussion from there.
Especially with the ones where I said, F you, F you.
I love those are my favourite ones, to be honest.
You seem to say that a lot.
Right. So, as an anarchist, you know, if we were in an anarchy, we wouldn't have a government and we wouldn't have any voting or democracy or anything like that. And so it makes sense to me when you post voting not even once. But we don't live in an anarchy and we do have a government that sort of controls us. So why would you decline to have any effect on this government because you don't believe in its principles?
Well, that's exactly why. They're saying, here, this thing we claim is up for vote when I reject the very idea that it is. I'm not going to participate in their system and say, okay, I accept that this thing is up for vote. You'll decide whether I have the right to say, well, literally anything that they forbid people from doing, like employing people under the minimum wage or, like, you know, building a house without their permission, anything like that. I have the right to do it without their say-so. I'm not going to vote on it and pretend that's something that's up for the decision of society.
But how would you sort of... To me, that sounds like you're just denying the fact that you're still in this society and you don't want to go along with it, sure, but how is... declining to take part in the way the society functions in terms of voting, how is declining to do that helping your case for trying to become more free?
Well,
wouldn't you want to go from inside the system and try and change it from there? Or is just you have
no,
to get rid of the whole thing?
That's the problem. You can't go from inside it. You can't vote on the idea that these things aren't subject to vote. And if you vote... If you vote, you're basically just setting yourself up to, like, you're conditioning yourself to depend on them. You're basically pleading to the government, please stop restricting my rights. Please, guys, come on.
Let's vote to not vote.
Yeah, I guess the government's never going to have, like, a little law passed. Like, would you like to vote on this referendum where we stop existing? Yeah, I would, actually.
Yeah, yes, just to see what it feels like.
One thing, let's see, let's find something. what you posted very recently is that you are pro gun, or you're against gun control. Why is that?
Well, any human being, at least any adult human being, has the right to own a gun in order to defend themselves, because no one else has the right to forbid them. It's their life and they have the right to protect it. As for children, that's a different case, because they're not like fully mature yet, so the parents should be responsible there for, you know, not letting them just pick up a gun and go around with it.
What about in Orlando? Would you have said those people should have had guns?
Yeah, if one of those people had a gun, it could have gone down a lot differently.
Yeah, that's true, but they were all drunk as well. They're at a club, so giving drunk people guns...
They were all drunk, haven't you heard of designated drivers?
Yeah, but still, like, drunk people would have had guns.
But still, they'd have had a chance to defend themselves.
Yeah, but if you had drunk people with guns, and if there was any type of violence, don't you think it could have escalated? Even before that event, even before Orlando...
Possibly.
Yeah, but if you had completely banned guns altogether, don't you see that as less likelihood of them being massacres? Have you seen in other countries like
this? Sure, if you ban cars completely, people aren't going to be killed by them while crossing the road.
Yeah, that's not the same, is it?
It's very analogous.
But it is sort of...
You can restricting...
Cars aren't built to kill people who cross the road, whilst guns are basically built to
kill people in self-defense, though. Yeah, well, you can keep restricting freedoms in order to make people safer, and then you end up with basically hell where people aren't allowed to do things that they have the right to do, which they're forbidden from doing because someone says, no, that will make everyone else less safe.
Well, if you look at the long history of gun violence in the US, wouldn't banning guns just make more sense? It seemed to work in other countries like Japan, Australia. There's no more gun violence. There hasn't been a massacre since banning guns.
Well, I'm not exactly familiar with the history, but... you say about making sense, you have to look at the principles first. So you can look at the practicality all you want, but until you've addressed the principle, does man have the right to own a gun to defend himself, then looking at makes sense isn't really a thing. You can't really
Can look at the principle, but aren't we thinking about making sure we save lives and making sure people don't get hurt by gun violence?
No, we're not doing that. Isn't that more of the issue?
I choose, yeah, so you've got two things at play. You've got principle or ideal.
Yeah.
So it would make sense, it would make everything consistent if guns are also not controlled and everyone can have guns. That's the ideal, that's the principle that we're working on. And then you have the practical and doing just sort of surveys and looking into sort of what statistically is happening. And you see that countries that promote guns or don't have as strong gun control as other countries, they also have more gun violence of all kinds. They have more suicides that use guns. They have everyone, because there's a larger availability of guns and you can easily get hold of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my eyes, you have an ideal that I definitely agree with, that, you know, you can't just sort of be free to do whatever you want and then suddenly you stop at guns and say, oh no, that's not allowed. But I wouldn't go from ideals. I would start from the practical and say, you know, exactly, this is what's happening in the world. And so then you should be like, okay, maybe we should change our ideals to fit what...
I agree with your ideals completely that people should be free to do what they want. But when it comes to guns, just it's more about saving lives
what
than
about knives. People have to walk around with knives.
When you say it's more about saving lives, what you mean is you're saying there's a higher principle. It's not that there's a principle, but it's not really a principle. It's a it's an idea and you can throw it away. That's not how principles work.
Well, like,
you've
got to sort of look about how it benefits society together, right? If you didn't have cars, that's not very beneficial because it's very hard to transport yourself without cars, isn't it? Just by using trains and buses.
It's really hard to protect yourself without a gun.
But that's not the basic principle at work here.
I would say,
what's a benefit to society? That's not the basic principle. The basic principle is individual rights. And
Are individual rights... Oh, I'll let you talk, sorry.
No, go on.
Are individual rights as important as saving lives of the many?
That's not a principle, saving the lives of the many. That doesn't really mean anything. What does is, does man have this right or does he not? And anything which doesn't involve him initiating force against others, he does have the right to do. Owning a gun in itself does not imply initiating force against others. And in a rational just society, if there are problems with guns, gun violence, people can figure out how to address that. And fortunately, a lot of them will have guns, and there will be primarily good people rather than like the like sort of 1% or whatever that are psychopaths. Like if you had, say, 50% psychopaths, I'm not sure any society could survive for long. But if there's just some minority, then good rational people can figure out ways to deal with that. And they want to, and they want to work together to figure out ways to deal with that. Working together on a voluntary basis, not forced to by the government in some kind of like collective whole, which isn't really a thing. They work together and they figure out ways to solve these things, treating them as problems to be solved rather than as issues to be dealt with just by removing everyone's freedoms, which is the basic idea of government. When there appears to be a conflict, just get rid of freedom until things start working by their idea of what works.
Okay. Then I want to diverge from the gun control conversation for just a bit, because you said a lot of things that I recognise to be a lot of the founding principles behind sort of anarchy or the sort of objectivism when you think about things from the perspective of the individual.
The objectivists actually disagree with my politics, the capital O objectivists. But yeah, go on.
But well then, first of all, we're going to go and define this. I think now's the best time to go ahead and define it. What is anarchy, and how is what's the reasoning behind why anarchy might be the right way to go? Why is it a solution that is similar in value to, say, socialism or capitalism or sort of other systems?
Well, anarchism is actually compatible with capitalism. It's not like some dichotomy. The basic idea of anarchism, or the main idea, is that government is illegitimate, government being some kind of body of men where it claims to have authority of others. It claims to have it rather than it's been delegated that authority.
And so how could a society function correctly if there wasn't a government? Which for me is quite a crazy idea.
Well, to me that's like asking how could a human body function without a virus that's attacking it? Because that's all government can do in essence. It takes away individual rights and it refuses to let individuals pursue their own values, instead collectivizing things. There's basically like a cannibal pot it throws everyone's values and everything into, and then decides what people are allowed to do, what they're allowed to pursue, as if to like have some kind of order. But that's not how order works. That's not how life works. If you have that, you have individuals, the things that actually live, not being properly allowed to live.
Would we be able to have would we be able to progress technologically and scientifically as much as we have if we didn't have centralized government and institutions that were funded by people's taxes that were collected? Would we be able to have the progress and all of that achievement if we didn't have someone enforcing some kind of sort of lowest common denominator that we all have to live by? Because my feeling is that if you have an anarchistic society, it's effectively very decentralized and it's kind of smaller scale. Everyone deals with what they have to do. They have to sort of, they have to get food, they have to do various things to survive, and so they all deal with that individually and they work together on a small scale. But I don't see how you can work together on a very large scale and have everything function in an anarchistic society, because if it would benefit an individual to abuse a large system, but in your society there's no mechanism to stop that from happening. They can just go ahead and corrupt that system. Whilst in a government you have, you, if you have someone who wants to go against a system that 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 is kind of supported by the government, they'll face retribution, they'll face problems because they're they'll face due to the government. So how can you have, so yeah, could you have the amount of progress and technological advancement that we have without having to have some kind of institutions like the government?
Okay, well, that was a long question.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, you asked one question, and then you asked another question. Actually, go back to my first question, because my second question was kind of,
I'm trying to put it, I've got lots of questions about this. Trying to put it into...
That's actually a good question.
Into one, like that one. Incredible question.
Okay, well, I think you know my answer. Yes, of course, it could and would progress, not just as much as now, but orders of magnitude more, with people being able to actually do what they want. What government does is decide what should be pursued and then takes people's money to do it. There's no way of, like, judging what people actually want, what... people decide is of value to them. There's an overarching system which says this will be of value to society, not individuals, the things that actually value. No, its idea is society. And then it goes on doing its stuff, taking people's money to fund what it claims to be science and technology and the like. But that's not necessarily what people want, and there's no way of even gauging it. It doesn't have any kind of price mechanism. It has, we can take people's money and put it towards this. Not enough money, we take more money. Did you ask anything else?
Probably along the line.
No, the thing is, like, that's what scientific research is.
Could people abuse the system? Well, anarchism isn't a system. As for capitalism, you're going against, like, literally everyone. With government, you can bribe a politician and they can actually get some stuff done with political pull. That's far easier than, like, trying to get everyone to work against their self-interest. There's an important concept here. It's one of the main concepts that people... need to grasp in order to properly understand, like, would anarchism even work? Is it a thing? Is it sustainable? And that's spontaneous order. The idea that order arises, at least primarily, not as an imposed from the top down thing, but as a sort of conglomeration of everyone working in their self-interest. And fortunately, in the universe, there's such a possible thing as money. Otherwise, I'm not sure we could really have any kind of large-scale society or anything at all. But money is the kind of main allower of that. It's the thing that, like, it's wealth, basically. People trade. They trade value in exchange for value. And both parties gain with that, and as sort of a total thing, that adds, in a sense, to the extent that it makes any sense, to the wealth of the society. Both parties have gained in value. Each one has created something that's not necessarily directly of value to him, but could be directly of value to someone else. They trade those things, and then both has more value than they had before. That's how trade works. What government does is it prevents this from happening to some extent. With its taxes, it takes money that people have earned and gives it to things that gives it to people and things that haven't earned it, that people wouldn't contribute to themselves, or if they would, then there's no need for it to do it in the first place. Does that answer your question?
Moving off on that, this is where I'm very much starting, this is resonating with me now. What I was just about to mention that's relevant to this is when we think about value-added tax, the tax that's added to things that you buy, that sounds like government putting a kind of resistance on people wanting to trade because there's actually a loss in trading.
Yes, that's
exactly
right.
People have to pay more than the actual value of the thing because they have to pay the government for trading. And so actually it would sound like a system of demotivating people or actually kind of making people more reluctant to trade instead of making people trade more, which would, as you say, make the whole society more profitable or more wealthy.
What would replace the government? Well, it'd just be people walking about having a good time. How would hospitals work? How would schools run?
Would it be groups of people?
Funded by private organisations.
Individuals, private organisations, whoever would want to fund hospitals because it's in their benefit, for example, because they actually make a profit, or possibly because, like, they can afford to and they care, like, about people for some,
I think it would work. Like, the
I don't think that will be the primary way of hospitals being funded. I think there will primarily be a business, but that's a detail rather than any kind of primary principle here. The primary principle is that hospitals are a produced good. They don't exist in nature. Man had to produce them, and anyone who produces a value, should that be taken from him by others, that should only be on his terms, which means he gains value from it. Value doesn't always mean profit, although on any large scale, either there has to be the wealth to support this thing in the first place if it's not making its own profit, or it has to be for profit. So the primary principle is value for value.
Right. Do you feel that we'd have a military in an anarchistic society?
I don't know to what extent organisations like would exist that have the functions of a military. I like the idea of there's this quote. It goes something like, if someone tried to invade mainland America, there'd be a rifle behind every blade of grass. I very much like the idea of men being armed and ready to defend themselves at a moment's notice against any kind of invader or domestic threat.
Yep, so say if someone who had a government had a force that was prepared to invade an anarchistic society, do you think they would hold up and be able to hold their own against a government?
It depends on the context. If it's some tiny anarchist society and it's some...
Oh, definitely not, yeah.
And
yeah.
Some huge government with, huge military power, then they would probably be destroyed if it's, like, I don't know, five people or,
If that's not an anarchist society, then there's just one person bossing everyone else around. That's basically what it means.
My household.
And we've actually seen cases with like small groups of people and the government decides, like, for whatever reason, that they shouldn't be allowed to continue as they are.
Exactly.
And they get wiped out, this community of like 100 or so.
Like, it sounds like a great idea, but I see, like, other societies interfering with it.
That's why I think everyone will have to kind of come along with
that's
it.
Yeah, that's why... The one thing that I like about the concept of it is that you have... Sort of, you start on the individual level, and then wanting to band together and team up and work together is a consequence of sort of thinking rationally about, you know, what would benefit me most. What would actually benefit me most to make sure that everyone else is winning, to make sure that everyone else is doing well and everyone else is safe. So if you have a large sort of anarchistic society that are under attack or whatever, it benefits you not to run away as an individual and lose out on all the people you were trading with, but to band together and put in some money with everyone to try and... to try and make sure that your society doesn't sort of get wiped out. So teamwork is a consequence of thinking rationally, like, actually, it will benefit me to work
with this
person.
But that's like,
I really like that idea. Instead of enforced teamwork, where the government's saying, like, okay, guys, you have to work together, you have to produce this, that person has to produce that, you guys have to trade.
Surely there'll be, like, a point where there'll be, like, a tipping point where everyone's working together and then someone decides, like, oh, maybe we should, like, you know, decide who, like, organises these working together. Like, that's how did democracy come about, really?
But then if everyone agrees to that, that's not any kind of democracy or government. That's individuals voluntarily agreeing to something.
Yeah, like,
if you disagree, you can just fuck up
and go to a different society. If you don't like the way it's changing...
Well, they wouldn't have
then
to...
you don't have to take part
They
in,
wouldn't
right?
have to fuck off. They could stay on their property and everything. Like, it's their property, and in a rational society... they wouldn't be told, well, you have to leave your property because you won't fund this. In fact, if they had any kind of significant power to enforce that, it most likely wouldn't even be an anarchist place if anyone could, like, really do that on any large scale to people. Obviously, in, when there's anarchy, you can still have individuals unjustly engaging in violence against others, but I don't believe that will be any kind of, like, the main thing going on. That is about the sustainability of anarchy, which is related but distinct from the morality of it. The original thing you were saying about talking about was teamwork. I agree in part, but say there's an invader, it doesn't have to be that, everyone is at arms with them. An invader doesn't necessarily send, like, their entire society or something, because if they get wiped out, then they're done. But, like, the people who are most dedicated to it and want to defend their... country or whatever the word even would be, they would be the ones primarily fighting, going out and fighting and possibly dying because they want to protect that thing. It doesn't have to be everyone necessarily.
This is actually a good argument for where people usually are. This is completely off topic a little bit, but
go for it.
If you've ever been in a debate with someone who's, like, highly religious from, like, say, Christianity or any other religion, they'll say, where do you get your morals from? Where do you get your morals from? This is sort of where you do get your morals from. Killing someone is not beneficial to you, usually.
Murdering isn't beneficial.
Yeah,
murdering
it's
being the killing of an innocent.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a beneficial act, is it? You won't just go around. If you do have complete freedom of yourself to do whatever you want without any consequences... Killing someone isn't a beneficial trait to have. Just killing people that you could trade with or, like, have interaction with. You know, why?
The problem with the religious idea is the, like, without God, they think, oh, without God, how do you have morality? My life and that there are real consequences and that my life is important to me. I actually value it and choose to live.
Yeah, exactly right, yeah.
So you derive your morality or sort of your moral values from the fact that you care about your life and whether you're going to sort of do good or happy, sort of the things that you care about, you want them, you think about the actions you might take, and if they will negatively affect your life, then they're probably not good actions to take. Is that the idea?
It's not just probably, it's more like the basis of it is... self-interest. I can determine that something will necessarily benefit my life as a whole, including all of my values and hierarchically weighting them, some values are more important than others, if I can judge that some action will necessarily do that, and more so than any other action, then it's good for me to do, and not just good, but the best thing for me to do. And it's the same thing with if I know that some action will necessarily be detrimental to my life, then I know that I should not take it. And the role of principles is... at least in part, to say, well, this like whole slew of possible actions, that's no good. It violates this principle. It's necessarily not in my self-interest to do this, so I shouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I prefer that over, you shouldn't do that because God doesn't like it.
No, religion, you can't really, I've said this before, like, we can argue all we want, no one can ever get rid of, you can't get rid of religion. It's impossible. You'll have to kill pretty much everyone apart from the very select few. Because there's only one person that actually tried to wipe religion, and that was Buddha himself, who actually argued against God and said we shouldn't believe in God, you know, we should just do... you know, what, like, you know, what's best interest for you and everything else, like, those kind of things. And when he died, they made a statue of him, started praying him, because they said he was the messenger of God, you know, he was the real, you know, divine, sort of, like, you know. And the thing is, if, let's say, you do impose this sort of thing where, you know, you argue against all these religions, even though they can't be logically argued against, let's be honest, you can't really logically say, go to someone and say, oh, this is why, because they always have this sort of own faith and belief that, no, you know, this is what I believe.
Yes, faith blocks them against reason.
Yeah, and you can't.
Who cares about reason?
It is,
yeah,
but that's the problem, because a lot of people, they believe in that, so I don't think you can argue against.
But as you get more educated, I feel like people should sort of look towards logic than faith.
Mm.
So I think it comes down to how educated you make someone.
It's kind of sloppy saying you feel like you think that. It is better for people to go by reason than faith, because faith destroys any kind of mental connection. It's a disconnect from reality. But reason is actually engaging in reality. It's looking at something and conceptualizing it, not just like on an animal level where they look at stuff and all they have are like the level of senses. They can't sort of engage in things in a symbolic conceptual way. They can't apply what they've like learned to the future, sort of like an infinite future. They have these concepts like something will always be like what it is as a concept. I forgot what the original thing you said was.
That so
was
did I actually. Yeah.
How would law work? For example, let's say I go kill someone. How would that work? How would the police force, how would the governing in an anarchist society work?
How does the government work in an anarchist society?
All right, I could solve all anarchism problems, right? What you have is a collection of people at the top that you vote in to look after everyone else. Let's call this a government? Yeah, but how would, like, the police force, for example, I go kill someone, how would that work? How would they find me?
For one thing, it's not primarily anyone's business. If they choose to make it that, then it may be so. But the key issue here is that in anarchy, they can't just claim that they're doing it on the authority of anyone else. They can't credibly claim that. It's on their authority. So if you kill someone unjustly and someone wishes... someone considers you a threat to their life or to, like, the civilization around them, then they may, as an individual, or possibly getting other people involved on their own authorities as well, they may decide to pursue you, find out whether you're properly... whether you're guilty.
How'd they find out? Let's say I'm, like, one of those murderers that just kills people and doesn't tell anyone.
You mean...
Just secretly murder someone and they just found them dead and you'd be like, well, I don't know.
Well, it's a thing you've done. I don't believe you can just keep committing crimes and then not be...
But what if you do one and then, like, no one finds out? Because no one's going to, like...
Then...
Yeah, but that's not going to be solved even with government.
No, but the police will actually explore. They'll be testing. And
they have magic powers? Other people may do that. If they notice... people get killed sometimes, people disappear, we have no explanation for that. Why is that? Perhaps they are being murdered, perhaps there's some reason to investigate that. Police don't have magical powers that just, oh, we can steal
people. Yeah, but there's
some
allocated people that do that. I mean, who would go... Let's say the person has literally no friends. He's just about...
But first of all, it's also...
Then either someone is interested out of the general idea of wanting to... protect themselves and civilization, or they're not. The point is that in government, everyone is forced to be responsible for, bringing this criminal to justice in a perverted form of the idea of justice. Everyone is responsible for that. Everyone is forced to fund it, and then he's not even brought to justice. Like, he's put in jail or something at everyone's expense. People are made to cover.
There won't be anything like prison. Like what? Let's say I do something like steal something off someone. How would that work?
Get thrown out.
There's not
thrown out of the society.
Yeah, I think if you do that, and it's in my self-interest. Like the person you harmed is someone that I cared about, and it's in my self-interest that person was doing well. I'm gonna be like, yeah.
Surely that would create a lot of conflict. For example, let's say my friend, he's like, well, this is what I did, and then there'll be a lot of conflict, and there won't be a central thing to say, guys, let's.
The central thing makes conflict worse. It's arbitrary, it just decides.
So you think it'll just sort itself out?
It decides this side is right. But without government, in reality, you have. Well, a side is right and a side is wrong, or both sides are wrong to some extent, and reality works in favour of those who apprehend reality, those who aren't deliberately unjust. I don't know, and this is part of the point of anarchism, I don't know and you don't know, can't know how everything would work out, like how criminals would be prevented from, bringing society... it's not fully workoutable. Part of the idea of government is that it is that there's some kind of formula for bringing everything into some kind of ordered way, but there isn't, and government is a pretense that there is.
I was going to ask something and then I forgot. So
did I. I had so many questions.
I had some really good stuff. It's gone. Okay, you posted on Facebook, and then in quotes you said, almost everyone makes decisions on the... So this is a quote that you were putting on your post.
Yeah.
Almost everyone makes decisions on the basis of what feels right, not on deep logic. Our brains are built that way.
And
you
my
had to
response?
Respond,
fuck you!
Why do you think that? So what this guy is saying is, actually deep down we all kind of think emotionally. And deep logic does not precede feelings. You feel stuff and whatever. And kind of logic comes as a second thing. It comes afterwards where actually like, oh, maybe I shouldn't feel like that. Oh, maybe that's not the right thing to do. But I do think that fundamentally we feelings is one thing that's more innate to us or more sort of primal to us than deep logic is. So I don't think he's saying anything that you can really swear at him for.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, naturally, I disagree because, I did. Okay, well, the problem with that is that's not... for one thing, he's putting them in conflict on the basis of what feels right, not on deep logic. If he had said on the basis of what feels right... derived from our logical considerations based on all the evidence, etc., etc. If he had said anything like that, i.e. like the feeling right is some kind of conclusion, some sort of summing up thing, then I probably wouldn't have sworn at him. But he's setting them apart. He's saying the feeling isn't based on it. It's just not on... it's just not based on deep logic. Like, my brain just has this feeling. I'm going to decide this. That's not the way to make decisions. Decisions are based on what is good for your life or not.
Decisions should be based on.
Yeah.
The main problem was our brains are built that way, as if, there's some kind of fundamental thing with our brains that we're just going to forget logic because our brains decide... Our brains, which make us creatures capable of logic, our brains are just going to stop us from like doing logic, and we're just going to arbitrarily decide something because we feel it, but that's not connected to reality. At least not if the feeling isn't, if it's not based on some kind of actual real logic connected to reality and connected to our values, then it's just some nonsensical thing. Our brains are built that way, means that just happens to us.
He's like kind of giving out like, oh, nothing we can do about it.
Like,
we're gonna do what
like we sure a lot of people do that. I'm not going to claim that's wrong. A lot of people will forgo logic and all of that and just arbitrarily decide things, like go drinking and then they're gonna go drive around at like 100 miles an hour because their feelings say it would be so cool, and just being arbitrary with feelings and like screw logic, just my brain is built based on feelings, and that's not any way to go about life.
Well, thank you Daniel for coming on this podcast and explaining anarchy to us and talking about, you know, whatever the hell we talk about. We'd love to have you on again. Who wants to wrap up the entire podcast?
Alright, Suresh.
Alright, Daniel, thanks for coming on. We had an awesome chat with you. And I want to thank everyone for listening. This was Red Switch the Podcast, and we'll catch up with you next time.